Well, how exciting. It's our last time meeting here at the church for our church service before we go over to his place with the air conditioning. And back in early May when Steve, threw out there that he had three Sundays where he needed somebody to help him out, right off the bat I chose July 1st. So smart. I was right on top of it. I knew what I was doing. Anyway, I think we'll get through it, because if this isn't air conditioning, what is, right? That's beautiful. I can feel that right on my knees right now. I do have a prop that I want to bring, because back when Steve first asked us, who would like to speak, and I said I would do it, I thought of something that I've thought about before when I've offered to speak, and it was that I want to maybe get a mirror. So my wife was at the store one day, and she bought me a mirror. And the reason I've thought about this before is I need to make sure that I realize when the Lord lays something on my heart to speak about, that mirror's sitting right there saying, by the way, talking to you too. I wondered if I really wanted to go ahead and do that. I don't know. It's just a thought on my part. And I'm telling you right now, for the next 10 days after I thought that, I heard Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson three times. Three times. I am not lying. I'm not embellishing this. I never do. Well, anyway. That's a true story. We've been talking all this past month about the theme's been in our weakness. And Steve's been giving us some great scripture, some great words of wisdom on how we're weak, but God is strong. And God gives us strength. I'm going to take a little different slant on this. As you saw, I didn't stick with 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, and that's okay. I think we'll be all right. Steve seemed to be okay with that. I'm actually going to talk today about how while we are walking the Christian walk, even though God will give us strength when we need it, we need to work on being strong. We absolutely need to work on being strong. I always look at 1 Peter 1:16. It says, "Be holy as I am holy." That's daunting. Wait, is he saying be holy like he's holy? We can't be holy like God, but it's commanded. And that's actually quoted from the Old Testament. Be holy as I am holy. That's an effort on our part. God says, while you're walking earth, be holy. We'll never be holy like God while we're here. We know that. He knows that. But we have to strive to do it. So I got thinking about this. You just ask to be holy, poof, you're holy. You're just like me. Doesn't work. We have to work at it. And then I thought about this in our weakness. And I thought of Ephesians 6:10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. First two words, be strong. Now, some people might take that, well, of course it says be strong. He makes us strong. I'm going to show you later where that whole chapter, Ephesians 6, is about being strong and ways to go about doing it, putting on the full armor of God. That doesn't sound like God's just saying, you're transformed to strong. He says, do something to make yourself strong while I'm helping you to be strong. Scripture is full of that. I'm going to tell you right now, as I've been studying for this for several weeks, Scripture is full of that. Not only, I'm weak, but he's strong, so I'll be okay. It's, be strong. Be strong. In our scripture for today, 1 Peter 5, 6-11, there's actions on our part and on the part of God. I mean, it's very obvious that there's actions on our part. Humble yourselves is the first one, that he may lift you up. That's verbs. That's action. Cast all your anxieties on him. He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. You do that. And he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. It's full of verbiage on the part of us and of God to help make us strong. So I want to talk today about three areas in our lives where we need to work on our weakness and help ourselves to be strong. There's three areas. I'm actually going to talk about our physical weakness, our spiritual weakness, and the weakness that we find in our strength. Sounds confusing. I'll try to explain it later. First is physical weakness. We who are getting to certain ages in our life, and I had a milestone birthday this year, our bodies get weaker. Have you noticed that? I don't want to hear anything from this peanut gallery here. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Our bodies get weaker. We need to work on staying strong physically. I got this idea because, I don't know, it was back late winter or something. Steve ended a message with something from 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. And he said we're to honor God with our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, therefore, honor God with you. It starts out, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And I got thinking about that after he just kind of, you know, slipped it in towards the end. I thought, you know, it's so true. And we're going to be talking about in our weakness. And in that scripture context, somebody could say, some theologian in the audience could say, well, he's talking about sexual immorality there. Really? Just sexual immorality? I beg to differ. I think that when I see different scripture by Paul that talks about constantly running with patience and perseverance and running in a way as to attain a prize, and then I go back into the Old Testament and I see things about running and not fainting, walking and not growing weary, or vice versa, whichever it is, you see it all the time. It tells us we have got to keep working and walking and running and being strong. If you know, why do we do that? Why would God have us to do that? Well, this might be a little bit of an opinion by me, but I'm going to tell you that I think it's so that we can serve Him better. I'm not going to go to Scripture and say, serve me better by doing 500 push-ups a day. That probably won't work, but we do need to serve God, and a lot of the things that we do to serve God include being physical. I get physical with these guys a lot of the time, and there's a couple of them that aren't there that I get real physical with. A couple of them are in Colorado, I think. I think you guys might have one son that gets real physical with me, right, Mark? Mark knows who I'm talking about. But if you're going to work with children and with youth, you got to be strong. If you're going to be going on a mission trip somewhere, I mean, between jet lag and all the work that you're doing there and the lifting and whatever you're doing, you can't just not be strong to do something like that. And even right here in our own backyard of Elmo, we do make a difference day. If you're raking leaves, climbing up on something, cutting something, doing something, you have to be in shape to do that stuff. You have to keep your body strong physically. Now, if you've been around me at all the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, I have some observations that I have made over my 50 years, and I have said that I would like to write a book called 50 Reasons to Stay in Shape. Have you guys ever heard that around my house? Yeah, they've heard it. I want to write a book called 50 Reasons to Stay in Shape, not because I'm Charles Atlas. I mean, I don't have washboard abs. I've got a washing machine stomach. But I do work on staying in shape. I really do, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, but the book's not completed yet, but I want to give you some preliminary excerpts from the book for when it's finished, okay? Let me see. Reason number 7. So when I go to the beach to relax, sit in the sun and read, but we happen to take our 22-year-old son, that I'll be able to play catch with him for a half hour with the football, another half hour with the frisbee, and run around in the sand, and be able to throw every time he takes this. I swear he takes a step back every time he catches it, and then before you know it, I'm throwing as hard as I can. I'm 50, help me out here. How about so that if I happen to decide at the last minute to play in an alumni basketball game here in Elma, where I end up being the oldest player on either team, I don't get hurt or embarrass myself. I thought that was nice. Very happy with that. So that if I happen to be a Detroit Tigers playoff game with Justin Verlander on the mound, and it's standing room only, and I'm down by the dugout, my cell phone rings, and it's my wife saying that there's this huge man trying to take our standing area, I can sprint up the steps and defend my wife. And I'm not making that one up. That happened last fall. So that when the one with which I have shared a bed for 29 years decides to wake up screaming in my face due to a bad dream, my heart will continue to beat. That's reason number 49 right there, so I'm getting close. And then if I go back to reason number 44, this might involve my wife too. I'll let you decide if it does. So that if a certain walking partner of mine has her stomach betray her during one of our long walks and we're 2 miles from home and I have to run and not jog all the way home to get the car, I can do it. Oh boy. Her face goes with her shirt now. Lots of our good friends know about that. Anyway. So those are excerpts from the book that I'm thinking about writing, because you find yourself as you get older all these different reasons to stay in shape. One of the real, serious reasons that I'm happy that Sue and I are pretty active and stay in shape is because we've both had some fairly major surgeries the last few years. I had the one in 04 where I had my gallbladder taken out on a Monday, and on Sunday, 6 days later, I got on a plane for Honduras. Right, Shirley? Remember that, Crystal? Remember that? I had girls carrying my suitcase through the airport. I'm like, what do I do? Dr. Smith said, you can't carry anything, but we got down there and I snuck in a few bricks and stuff like that. We got that done. Sue had a surgery recently in April. I don't know if a lot of people even knew it because she was up, like the next day after we got her home, she wanted to go for a walk. I said, okay, we'll make it a slow walk today. And 2 days after that, it was a regular walk again. We walk 5 and 6 miles at a time. Recently, we've had our son join us on these walks, which has been extra special since he's leaving today. He's leaving our town. He's going to take a job in Indianapolis, which I'm very happy about, but his mom might have a few tears about that, so you might want to give her a hug before you leave today, but that's okay. He's been coming with us, but when we're not walking, we're riding our bikes all the way to Riverdale and back. We do that a lot. I see some of you out there on the trail with us. We just like to do that. I happened to, when I saw the video, I kind of appreciated that because I've kind of taken up this thing where I have a heavy bag in my backyard and I box it a lot. And Sue's even joined me on that lately, and that'll keep you in pretty good shape. And we do the Jillian Michaels workout. And I kid you not, every time we're getting ready to do that workout to go downstairs and put the video in, we're scared. What's Jillian going to do today? Well, it's the same video as the last time. I know, but I'm still scared. She makes your body hurt. Why do I tell you this? Is it just so that I can brag and say, I am in shape? No, what I'm telling you is I'm weak and getting weaker. I can feel it. Some of the things my grandpa used to say to me about, oh, arthritis, he creeps up and he hurts. And I know what he was saying now with that grin on his face. It's tough. You start feeling the aches and the pains. We come home from work and we're like, okay, we're riding the trail today, right? And we have that hint of, I don't want to. That's when you change your clothes and get in your workout clothes and do it. You use discipline. The verse that we see in the Bible, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So true. So true sometimes. You got to do it. You feel better. The days that you resist it the most, I swear you feel better the most when you get done. But let's look at Hebrews 11 and 12, because I want to talk about discipline. And I like to think that that's the word that we've come up with, Sue and I, in doing this stuff and working out together, is we've got to have discipline, and it's something that we lack sometimes. Hebrews 12, 11 and 12. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful, that's for sure. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Did you guys ever catch that in Scripture before? I have to admit, I don't think I did. When I think of Hebrews 12, I always think of those first two verses. You know, surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and we got, you know, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith and everything. This talks about that, you know, you could take that discipline as meaning, well, that's chastisement by God when we do wrong. Maybe. In some ways it is. But no discipline seems pleasant but painful. Later on, though, it brings righteousness. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. We're getting weaker. We really are. And the Bible tells us we need to strengthen ourselves. The conundrum. Tim Sipka, what do you think of that word, conundrum? Isn't that a pretty cool word to slip into a sermon? Impressive. Very, thank you. He's impressed. The conundrum is that we need to, because of our busyness and stress, we need to stay in shape physically. We need to work out. It really helps and all that. But we feel too stressed to do it. That's the conundrum. That's the problem. And we have to show discipline to do that. It's a little depressing and overwhelming when we really think about it. And I'm sorry to be bringing this to you today, but it's true. Let me then get to some positives then. In our church, I just want to give you, and there could be a long, long list, and our sermon could go on forever, but I want to give you a list of some pretty good examples of this that we see amongst us, okay? First, I'll start with our three pastors. Our three pastors are always active doing something to strengthen their bodies. All of them. You see Steve running, Ben running. I see Ron all the time at the fitness center just working out. And I think they know that for them to stay sharp physically, spiritually, whatever, they need to keep their bodies strong. Okay? Our three pastors, I think, are a great example of that. Can I publicly embarrass somebody today? Michelle, were you ready for me to publicly embarrass you today? She works with me at the bank. She helps me to process mortgages and stuff like that. And she, back in the wintertime or something, she decided that with that spinning class that came to town, is that what you guys call it, spinning? It's a bike riding class, and they ride hard and everything like that. She's been doing that for like 7 months now, and watching her sweets intake and all that stuff. And I've been watching that, and I've been happy for her. I've been proud of her because she took the bull by the horns and said, I'm going to do this. Others that I think of, Mark Prout. I love you, man. You are an inspiration to me all the time. Ever since I've come to this church, Mark has worked hard. Just the things, if you knew all the things he did to work out. Some of you, I mean, he's an amazing man. Working hard because he knows he needs to stay sharp, keep himself strong physically, and he does an amazing job. Just wrestle him sometime. You'll find out. My son has, and he's a big guy. Chris Sipka. Chris, my hero. Many people's hero. She stands to hear to me, and she's my hero. That's pretty cool. Mark and Chris, I mentioned one after the other because to me, praise God, they're in such shape after what we've gone through with them the last 9 months. That's all I can say. They've gotten through that because they're so strong. And Chris, you have been an inspiration in this community for people spiritually, physically, all kinds of things. And I just wanted to publicly embarrass you for that, okay? Thank you. Jeff Smith. I see Dr. Smith all the time. That guy, talk about a demanding, busy schedule and, you know, his Sierra Leone trip, stuff like that. I mean, he just makes sure, and I could say it about his family. I could say it about a lot of people in this church. I could go on forever. How about the infamous Dr. L? Yeah, Maury Lutkemeyer. He's made a living out of teaching people how to stay in shape and stuff like that. And these people are a little bit extreme. Maury's so extreme. I remember his hospital stay the one time where the nurses were almost like ready to strap him down. I can't miss a workout. He was running in the halls, weren't you, Maury? Of the hospital, I kid you not. But anyway, these are just, to me, inspirations, positive examples of people. They can be a little extreme even to some of us, which is fine. That's their regimen. It doesn't take that. I mean, even just a good brisk walk is good just to keep you moving. I see Fred Maria Vitier all the time. I see them, man, they take off, they live right near us, and there they go. And they'll be back in 45 minutes, an hour, hour and 15 minutes, whatever it is. And I know that one of the reasons is so that they can be in good shape when their grandkids come over, stuff like that, which could be in their 50 Reasons to Stay in Shape book. But so you don't have to be overly extreme. You can just walk. Some people, and I know this is true, some people cannot exercise due to infirmities and stuff at all. And that's, you know, that's the way it goes for some people. There's other things you can do. Now, here's where I kind of need my mirror a little bit because I had to mention this. I had to go here. There's other things that we can do to make sure our bodies are in good shape. And that involves what we put into our bodies. Because I'm very infamous or famous, whatever you want to say, for loving cookies, ice cream, M&Ms, all that stuff. And you work at Stoogie's and you're smiling at me. She's the problem. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I love all those things. But I have to watch that. I have to show discernment on that. I have to show discipline on that. That seems to be a little weaker aspect of my life. I'll admit it. That's why I need this mirror. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I'm excited about heaven for lots of reasons, but I'm pretty sure there'll be cookies in heaven. I'm sure of that. Our bodies will be glorified. We won't have to worry about it so much anyway. So that's something for us to look forward to. I want to go to 1 Timothy 4:8. This is kind of a segue here. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. No, I don't believe Paul is saying there, physical training's a little bit important, not that important. Paul's not saying that. In those days, everybody walked everywhere they went. I mean, if you were one of the lucky ones on your block to have your own chariot, then, you know, whatever. But they walked a lot. And so Paul didn't, it's just a different culture from now, where we don't ever have to walk or do anything physical if we don't want to. But Paul says, that's of some value. But if you do all that physical training to the exclusion of godliness and spiritual training, you got your priorities mixed up. Because now we're talking about eternity. Doesn't matter how often I work out now between now and 80 years old, that's not going to help where I'm at in eternity. That's the truth. It can help someone else with where they're at in eternity because they might be able to serve God better, like I said earlier. But now we're talking eternity. So the second weakness that we need to work on is spiritual weakness. What causes us to be weak spiritually? Oh my goodness. We could go into a lot of different things here. I've just decided to concentrate on the fact that with our ongoing battles with the temptations of the devil and our old selves, we can be worn down. We battle with our old nature all the time. We have to do something in that battle. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You have to do it. You have to put off the old self, put on the new self. God doesn't just zap, "There, you did it." For me, in my Christian walk, that's one of the things that irritates me the most, is that I have to constantly battle with my old self. God, come on, you can make it easier. It's just part of our walk while we're here. We have to work on it ourselves. Then I'm going back to Ephesians 6, where I talked to you about how Ephesians 6 says to be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. And it talks about putting on the armor of God, the entire armor of God. And the one I'll concentrate on is verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God, right? Be in the Word of God. And I love how that's followed by verse 18, which says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. To me, verses 17 and 18 are spiritual working out. Because if you're like me, you will admit that there are times, well, I know I should be praying right now, but I don't feel like it, because it's working out. It's working out spiritually, and it's not easy. You know, you have a prayer list. I have a prayer list. It's a couple pages long. There's people I pray for regularly, and then people I add to it all the time. And you'd think that since I have a prayer list, I could just go down and, oh, I want to pray for these people. And there's days where I don't know if I feel like it today. And you have to do it. You have to overcome that. You got to put on that armor. And remember 1 Peter 5 and the video and everything with regard to staying alert and resisting the devil. Does that sound like something where God, oh, don't you worry about it, I'll take care of keeping you strong? Be alert and resist the devil. Until God makes us strong for good, we need to stay away from situations where our weaknesses are exploited. Stay away from situations where your weaknesses are exploited. And when I thought about that, I thought about, you know, who really works hard on this is Alcoholics Anonymous. They have a model for this, and it's called their HALT model, H-A-L-T, HALT. Stay away from physical and emotional conditions that could make you relapse or give in to temptation. So right there before you will appear any second now, the HALT model. Count down with me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The model. H-A-L-T. There we go. I see what you're saying. I didn't have a screen for all of them. Thank you very much. My bad. The first one is hungry. Come on. We all get in situations where we're hungry physically, of course. But really, what we hunger for also is things like companionship, comfort, attention, understanding, things like that. Those are what our soul really hungers for. And to me, you can get those at church. You can get those in Sunday school. You can get those in Christ care groups. You know, they're right there. They're available for us. So we need to stay away from being hungry in our souls. Okay? In the model is angry. Angry. That's one I've worked on through the years, to tell you the truth. But I have come to realize that not all anger is sinful. Anger is an emotion given by God. Did you know that? Anger is an emotion given by God. The trick is to use anger and express it in a constructive way. And I'm going to tell you my story. I'll try to keep this story as short as I can because we're running out of time. But the reason I brought this up Some of you know this story, right? Right? You know this story. Some others do because of Facebook. Lots of you know this story. This is my Kindle. And I had a day back in April, just shortly after my wife's surgery, where I decided to go to the college and work out. Ron, you weren't there to help me. I ended up being okay without you. But there weren't that many people there. It's the transition into spring when it's nice out and people are outside. I went in there and I worked out. I'd already done whatever I do, cardio, and then I was going to lift weights, and I just heard two kids came in, can we use your bathroom? And I'm just like, that seems funny that they would come in this building. But anyway, they went in there, and I went, and I did my shoulder press, and I looked out, and I said, when they walk out, I'm going to go check for my Kindle, because I usually leave it at the desk. And this time I put it in the locker room, there weren't many people there, and sure enough, those kids walked out, and I went in the locker room, and my Kindle was gone. And I went, boom, out that door, and the guy working at the front desk, I go, they took my Kindle, and out we went, and I'm just going like this, and then I heard a door shut and a car start, and out they were heading out the parking lot, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not sure how I did this, but I got about 70 to 80 yards that way in 1.5 seconds, and I got in front of that car, and I said, stop the car! The first time they didn't. They backed up and they tried to find another way out. There's one way out of that parking lot. Do I need to repeat what I said again? Stop the car! And I actually might have taken these two lethal weapons, as Barney Fife would say. And I went, stop it! And I think the two back wheels came slightly off the ground. And I might have turned green and my shirt started ripping. I'm not sure. But that second time, they both went, and the Kindle went out the window like that. So the guy from the college grabbed the Kindle, and I said, get out of the car and give me your keys. One kid was a kid from Elma, the other I'd never seen before. But we went from me being beside myself to talking to them and saying to the one, I can't believe you're involved in this, to actually having a conversation where, you know what, even if the police show up right now, and it just so happened that there were sirens everywhere in Elma, so the police couldn't make it there. It's a blessing to me. Because the guy from Elma College had called the police. I said, even if the police came right now, I would not press charges because I am just going to pray for you two. And I really feel, I did a lot of dumb things as a kid. I did. And I'm just going to pray for you two that this is the last time this happens. And I will trust that it is. The one from out of the area, I couldn't really get a reaction out of him. The one, I even said something to the effect of, you know, I might have seemed pretty angry a minute ago, but I love teenagers. And he goes, he does, he really does. And I'm like, I'm glad somebody's observed that, because this kid came to Youth for Christ on Monday nights where I work. On Monday nights, Sue and I do that. And after it's all said and done, we're just talking in normal tones, and I'm loving it. I'm like, I'm glad people forgave me for dumb things I did as a teenager. So, as luck would have it, they go, I go. And a while later, a month later, we're on our way to Brian's baccalaureate at Taylor, and I get a phone call on my cell phone. It's this kid from outside of the area. He goes, hey, Garth, this is Brad. I go, Brad? The one who saw me turn green? And he chuckled. He goes, yeah, I just want to thank you. What do you mean? He goes, because that happened, I texted my mom. She came and got me, took me home, and I have a job now, and I will never do that again. Thank you. I'm like, wow. I've done a lot of things out of anger in my life, and I really didn't get thanked for it in the end, and I didn't deserve to be. But, and then the kid from Elma, I saw his mom at IGA one day and ended up talking to her about it, and we hugged, and I just said, I really didn't feel like your son wanted to be there in that situation, but I had more expectation for him. But I'm not saying this to tattle on him. I just think, just have him call me. I've talked to him. I've offered to help him because he does summer school and stuff, and I've offered to help him, maybe help him proofread some papers, whatever he needs. And the other kid called me here, or I called him because I was thinking about him. And he said, would you give me a reference for a job? I think I will, because the way this is all played out, I do really believe in you right now, and that you're going to change, and that you're already changing. So, if you knew me, like I said, you'd know that constructively expressing anger's not always been an easy thing for me. And God's using what I consider a weakness in my life, and we're getting by. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give the devil a foothold. That's what we have to not do. give the devil a foothold. Just stay angry, you know. We just can't do that. We have to get over it. We have to ask forgiveness, give forgiveness, whatever. Lonely. We become lonely when we isolate ourselves. We need community, and we need others to share our weaknesses with. And I always go to Hebrews 10:25. For me, this is one of the quoted verses. Well, where does the Bible say you have to go to church? Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage each other. Okay? Maybe I won't stand up here and say, well, you really need to be going to church, because I would say that. But come on. If you're lonely and everything, it says right in Hebrews 10:25, not just to come to church, but that's where we encourage each other. Who needs encouragement more than lonely people? And then T, tired. We need rest. We need the Matthew 11:28 rest. We need the kind of rest that says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's true rest. We need that. And when we don't get that, we're susceptible to problems with temptation, with relapse. We need the kind of rest that the world doesn't give in the rat race. And speaking of the world, here's where I talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. I have to add the last three words, says the Lord. That's not Garth's opinion. I'm not saying never, never take on a job where there's non-Christians among you. You can't do it. Or never do anything at all where you're hanging out with people that aren't Christians like you. Jesus would say, that's not how I did it. That's not what Paul's saying. When he says, don't be yoked together with them. Don't have these relationships where they're really influencing you more than you're influencing them. Don't do it. Come out from among them and be ye separate. You'll be weakened by the world, I'm telling you. We are to be in the world and not of the world. The world will wear us down if we let them influence our thinking or if we get too comfortable with their ways. And you can tell me till you're blue in the face, I can handle it, I can do it. No, I can, I can do it, I can handle it. I can. Be careful. We are weak. And I have to say here that I was pretty proud of my son because this process this summer has been, you know, he's been talking to different NBA teams about coming and working for them. The first of which was the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento? Oh, well, we'll see how that works out. And what he said towards the end of the interview he shared with me later, the guy asked him something about, you know, what really, I can't remember the verbiage, but what really makes you tick? What turns you on, really? And he said, I'm a Christian, so serving God in some capacity. And then he told me afterwards, he goes, if that keeps me from getting the job, then I'm not working in Sacramento. I don't mean to brag on my son. I sure wasn't perfect as a father and whatever, but to hear that made me proud. And then the next interview came, and I think it was the Atlanta Hawks, and he said something to that effect. The one that he's getting, the one that he's starting tomorrow, the guy, he told that guy he was a Christian. The guy said, so then character issues is something I don't have to worry about. And the first few words out of Brian's mouth, well, I'm not perfect, but I'd like to think that, yeah, that's an issue. So if you keep saying stuff like that, and if we keep acting like we're Christians, something good's going to happen. And if you keep thinking that things aren't happening for you, it's for a reason. It's okay. And one other way to overcome our spiritual weakness is to discover and utilize our spiritual gifts. We can receive and impart strength when we do that, right? I talk about that a lot, don't I, young people? Our spiritual gifts. Use them. Find out what they are. And then the last thing I'll go through quickly, weakness in our strength. The last area, weakness in our strength. Many men can identify with this. There's a French theologian named Jacques Benigne Bossuet who said the greatest weakness of all is the great fear of appearing weak. The greatest weakness of all is the great fear of appearing weak. We fight that all the time. We want to disguise our weaknesses, and that becomes a weakness. I still remember the pitcher who played for the Oakland A's. They had three World Series in a row in 89, 90, and 91. This guy pitched for them. His name was Dave Stewart. I've actually gone to a Tiger game and watched him pitch, but he would pull that hat down to where the bill was folded. And I mean, this is all you could see was him on the mound. He was just like, And if you were a hitter, especially a rookie, I mean, you were like, I mean, he just had the meanest glare of anyone I've ever seen. Ask my wife. She used to call him the Doberman. She was like, okay, I would be as scared of him as I am a Doberman. And he would pitch, and then after a game where he had a great game or something, maybe in the World Series or something, somebody would come up to talk to him after a game, and they'd say, so Dave, what do you think was the key to your performance tonight?
Well, I had my fastball going pretty good, and I thought my curveball was dropping well. I had a my slider was really a...
And you're going, what? He sounds like he should be from Munchkin Land. Are you kidding me? But, you know, I swear his stare from the mound was to overcome what he saw as a weakness in his voice, you know.
Folly Olympic Road or something like that.
That's what I expected him to say. You know, that's how we are, though. We disguise our weaknesses. Our pursuit of the appearance of strength due to cultural and social traditions can lead us down a path of weakness. Saul in the Old Testament. We've been talking about 1 and 2 Samuel lately, so I thought I'd at least throw something in. From 2 Samuel chapter 1, David, lamenting Saul's death, says, how the mighty have fallen. Says it several times. And me personally, in my job at the bank, I have seen examples of how the mighty have fallen because I've seen so many people that think their strength is in their wealth and their money and their supposed power, and they might lose it all. And then you see just how weak that was. They disguise, you know, their weaknesses with what they think is strength. And then Paul in the New Testament, believe it or not, Paul in the New Testament, he planned on winning the Gentiles over with the same fervor and zeal that he persecuted Christians. But you know what happens in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations that he had received, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The great missionary Hudson Taylor once said, God was looking for someone weak enough to use, and he found us. 1 Corinthians 1:27, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and the weak things to shame the strong. So I don't want to walk out of here with us confused saying, wait a minute, he said we need to overcome our weakness and be strong, but God says he uses the weak things of the world. I'm confused. Well, if you go back to what our scripture was for the day, God is not contradicting himself. But he wants us to know that in our weakness, he's the mighty one, he's the strong one, but work on being strong. That's what he wants us to do. In fact, the first few words of the scripture for today, 1 Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And for me, that might be the number one effort that we need to work on. I know that I need to work on that one all the time. Humbling ourselves, that might be our biggest effort. And I will close real quickly with a story. Yesterday, I do what I've been doing lately if I'm going to give the sermon or something like that. I went for one of my bike rides by myself. And I go out and I just kind of go through this stuff in my mind. And I went out and I came all the way back. And I was in town, right down here on Superior Street. And I came up Harvard Street, right by the college. And I go to turn onto Superior and I look. And that car's down the way. There's nothing coming this way. We usually take Yale Street, Sue and I. And we just know the lay of the land. But one block to the left and I'm going, whoa, wait, where's that little sidewalk? Oh, I'm not going to make it. I'm turning the corner at a pretty good clip. So I all of a sudden I'm like, I'm going to have to jump the curb in order to make this not end really bad for me. I didn't jump the curb. My bike hit that curb with such force that I went boom, 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 and I stood up just like that, and I go, I'm okay. All right. And my bike tire wasn't so okay, but I'm going to tell you right now, the day before you get up front and preach a sermon, you don't need to be getting in a bike wreck, but I will say that I feel good that I've stayed in shape. And I guess the bottom line is, I now have my 50th reason.